Hello and welcome to Talking Spite episode 7. 7! Can you believe we've had to do this 7 times? Loads of stuff on today's show. We're going to be catching up with art critic Brian Shule on the closing legs of his UK sex tour. Professor Brian Dix is back as well. And there's new work from Scouse poet Roy Hughes. Nikki Interesting will be tackling the big question of the month in The Big Shout. And back by popular demand, the drama that everyone is talking about, It's the Lift. This month I am Peter Collins and sat directly opposite me is Mr. Ian Dewar.
Hello.
And approximately 45 degrees to my left and approximately 45 degrees to the right-hand side of Mr. Ian Dewar is Mr. Graham Flynn.
Hi Pete. Let's not beat around the bush. Waited a month. It's the latest instalment of The Lift.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in The Lift.
Hang on mate, can you hold the doors? Nice one, ta.
No problem. What floor do you want?
Fifth floor, please. Whoa, it's just gone past the fifth floor.
Sorry, I thought you said the seventh floor.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in The Lift.
Wow.
God. Wow.
Just goes from strength to strength.
Yep. That struck a chord to me because I've actually been in that situation where someone's pressed the wrong button and I've missed my floor, so...
That must be quite traumatic, listening to something you've experienced firsthand like that.
Yeah, that was quite difficult to listen to. Still brilliant, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and for the guy who... The guy who was in there, who's made that mistake, you know, that genuine mistake of pressing the wrong button, it's, you know, we assume it's a genuine mistake.
Or was it?
Ooh.
That's The Lift for you, the power of the drama.
I just don't know, do you?
Part two of that coming up very soon. So, in the meantime... Graham, what have you been up to this month? Anything interesting?
I have actually done something for once. I was in Leeds last weekend. Just thought to myself, I'll try and get in the Guinness Book of Records. So I jumped off a wall. It was about 5 foot high. I found the Guinness Book of Records, but they said Felix Baumgartner had just beaten me by just shy of 23 miles. So
that's a shame.
So I'm not in the Guinness Book of Records for the highest free fall.
You going to try again? Looking for a higher wall?
Or? Yeah, if anyone out there knows of any 23 mile high walls, I'll certainly give it a go.
Yeah, that's talkingspite@gmail.com. Suggest a wall for Graham to jump from.
Absolutely. I mean, it's nice to see you've actually moved on this month, Graham. From last month you did absolutely nothing. Included eating, drinking, sleeping in that, and now you're jumping off walls. So it's progress.
Yeah, after the last podcast, I thought about your hurtful words and all that and cried myself to sleep and thought, I'll do something this month.
You've got to do something.
Jumped off the wall.
5 foot, you know, aim for the stars, literally, 23 miles.
Ian, what about yourself? Can you top that?
Jumping off walls. I've not done any wall jumping as such, but I've been watching TV, probably not in the same breath of jumping off walls, just scanning the channels.
Planning to talk about toilets today or insulting the disabled in any way?
Or 10-minute free view.
There wasn't any 10-minute free view. Disabled? Are the deaf clusters as disabled?
Yes.
Probably aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm just going to interject there. I don't know what our demographic is, but I would just like to take this opportunity to apologise in advance to our deaf listeners for whatever Ian is about to say.
So, scanning the channels, music, MTV, you know MTV, the music channel.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be a music channel.
Used to be, now it displays any old, yeah. I mean, there's hundreds of them. But so watching that one morning, and this was probably 9 in the morning, there's a little fella in the bottom corner doing sign language.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah, but so he's signing music.
Yeah.
But why would a deaf person be watching MTV, music television?
It's ideal television for the deaf. Why? Because music is that bad. Anyone with sound of hearing wouldn't be able to sit through it. I couldn't sit through MTV with the sound on. It's perfect for the deaf. They get to look at the images of scantily clad women without having to listen to the fucking dire music that comes from
But pop lyrics mostly are gibberish anyway. And so they must be sitting there watching this fella saying, what is he on about? What is he talking about? It's gibberish.
If you've got like a girl group, and then there's a middle-aged man signing the music.
Yeah, you don't know where to look.
Quite demeaning for him, really, wasn't it?
Mm.
But it's empty. It's music television. Why are the deaf tuning in? Surely the name's in the clue. It's music. Don't bother. Don't apply. It's not made for you. You shouldn't be looking. It's like a blind man walking into a library. And I don't mean walking into it, like, into the side of it, because you can't see it. I mean going into a library.
Say if the library's got Braille books.
So they've started to cater for the blind now, and I'm not sure that's right, but anyway, they do. But also, this is the interesting thing about it. So, this little guy, he disappeared after lunchtime, so he was only on in the morning.
Yeah.
So they think the deaf people are only watching it in the morning, and by that, so they don't, you know, they're not interested in the afternoon. So I can only assume that because deaf people are deaf, they've had a good night's sleep, so they're up early, and they're just watching TV because they've all had a great night's sleep. Whereas some people, if they've had a bad night because their neighbours have been noisy, You know, they might have had a bit of lying, get up after lunchtime, there's no sign bloke. But the inference is, if you're deaf, you sleep well. Well, so yeah, every cloud, innit?
Fair play to the NTV schedulers there, they've got that nailed down.
Exactly, yeah, and they know they have to pay him for 6 hours, from 6 till midday.
I've seen that little man signing on MTV in the middle of the night, so there must be some deaf insomniacs.
Possibly. You know, I mean, I've got bad noisy neighbours, and often the time, I wish I was deaf. I hate being able to hear shit, I can't sleep properly. Whereas if you were deaf, bingo, you're away out with the...
They're just lucky then, if anything.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So it's not a complete downer, I think, is what I'm trying to say. You always sleep well. But anyway, so that's all I've been up to.
I don't know about you two, but I've learnt some basic sign language. I've learnt how to say fuck off, up yours and wanker. It's not a vast vocabulary, but it's enough to have a conversation with Robbie Williams.
I know screw you in sign language. I tell you what I didn't know about sign language is that if you meet someone from France who's deaf, they have a different sign language. So they have a French sign language. So an English person...
Lots of shrugging at us.
Yeah. An English person signing to a French person, they wouldn't know what each other was on about, although you could safely presume the French person was swearing at you.
Yeah.
And I imagine the English person would just sign a lot slower.
Yeah, as you do when you speak. Yeah. Talk a bit slower, talk louder. Yeah, the French are just going to be swearing at you.
Yeah.
Le roast beef, whatever that is in signing. Yeah.
I'm so insulted. You've called me roast beef.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting. Yeah. Not much else from me this week. Back into the lift.
Back into the lift.
Can't wait. Come on.
Let's find out how it pans out.
Shall we go?
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in the lift.
Previously on the lift.
Hang on, mate. Can you hold the doors? Nice one, ta.
No problem. What floor do you want?
Fifth floor, please. Whoa, it's just gone past the fifth floor.
Sorry, I thought you said the seventh floor.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in the lift.
It's okay, mate. I'll take the stairs back down to the fifth floor.
Life goes up and life goes down like the people in the lift.
So there you go, you see.
Wow.
He walked it. He walked down.
An option I didn't even think of.
Didn't see that coming.
When that happened to me, actually... went up in the lift, let everyone get out, and then press the button to go back down.
You'd think that would be the logical way to do it. Not get out, take the stairs down.
Well, that's why the lift's getting so many plaudits. It's so well written.
It's the power of the writing.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's some adverts for stuff you won't want to buy.
Looking to have an accident? Then call the National UK Accident Call Centre, and we can help. With over 20 years' experience of arranging accidents for thousands of people, the National UK Accident Call Centre are the people to trust when you need an accident. From minor inconveniences to full-blown hospitalisation, no accident is too big or too small. Maybe you're trying to get out of work. Have you thought of how soiled trousers or a burnt thumb might help? Maybe you're desperate for compensation money. Filing a claim against an employer can be both financially rewarding and fun. Or maybe you're looking to land someone with a charge of domestic abuse. We have competitive rates on both walking into doors and falling downstairs. One quick call to our UK call centre is all it takes, and within days you'll be joining the millions of other people experiencing the full benefit of an accident. From sympathy to a well-paid life on disability benefit. You're just one call away from a minor or horrific, debilitating and life-changing accident. Even just making an inquiry entitled you to one of our complimentary splints. Follow it up with a purchase and we'll send you a neck collar made from the lowest grade foam permitted for retail purposes in the UK. So delay no more and call the National UK Accident Call Centre now. We wouldn't want anything to happen to you if you didn't.
Hey, you!
Huh?
Yes, you! Are you a fat emo kid?
Uh-huh.
Fed up of not being skinny like your mates? Fed up of not being able to wear skinny jeans and being ignored by skinny emo girls?
Yeah, I suppose.
Then worry no more, fatty, because Halligan's Leg and Arse Reconstruction Clinic can help you. Using our state-of-the-art Greek and Turkish techniques, Halligan's surgeons will give you the legs you desire. Come to the clinic and we will hang you upside down, slowly rotate you in front of a hot grill, And as your legs cook, our experts will gently shave off your excess leg and arse matter, helping you fit those skinny jeans. And what's more, the blood won't show when you're wearing them. So come on, fatty, what do you say?
Dunno.
That's the spirit. Call 755 now and book a free consultation.
Allergans, the brand you can trust. Warning, all surgery is carried out by kebab shop workers who have no previous medical experience. Procedures may cause severe blood loss, gangrene, amputation, or drawn-out painful death. We reserve the right to sell your leg shavings with salad and pita bread to late-night revelers without recompense to the patient. Do you want me to check if your toothpaste is working?
Suppose. Wow, look at all that bacteria.
That's because you didn't brush with Sunbeam this morning.
But I did.
Oh.
Cut. Can you just go along with it, love, please?
Yes.
Try Sunbeam tonight and come back and see me tomorrow morning. It's free.
Okay.
Hi. Ready to check your teeth again?
Yes. Wow. All of that bacteria is gone. How's that possible?
I photoshopped it out of your picture from yesterday.
Oh.
Cut.
Sorry, my fault that time.
For fuck's sake.
New Sunbeam toothpaste. Sunbeam.
Sunbeam.
Okay, it's a popular part of the podcast now. It's a housewife's favourite, Peter Collins, with some of his tips to make your life better. What have you got for us this month?
Fashion tip this month. Yeah. Fashion tip.
Just a tip.
Just one.
Before I start, obviously, neither of you gave the diet tips a go. That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Thanks very much.
Fashion tip. Summer has gone and the new season is upon us. And fashion-wise, that means wear more clothes. It's cold. Maybe put a jumper on, get your winter coat out. That's my fashion tip this month. Generally, just put more on.
Is that it?
That's it, yeah. Well,
amazing.
Yeah.
Anything else? Nothing else to mention? Anything else that gets you goat, fashion-wise?
Yeah.
Do people need to be told how to dress? That is no one capable of independent thought anymore. That's the society we're living in.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
Right then. Fashion tips. Men about town might want to consider a scarf, though you have to wear it in a loop. Fold it in half and then loop the end bits through the central hole. It has been a legal requirement to wear a scarf in this manner since 2004. All other ways of wearing a scarf are now illegal. Girls, as summer's gone and you're no longer walking around city centres in practically nothing, you might want to compensate for this by being a bit more adventurous in the bedroom. Just saying. This season's fashion is to wear footwear that allows you to walk quicker than 1 mile an hour and for longer than 10 minutes at any given time, so maybe you can actually get somewhere and get something done. Smoking pipes is also going to be big for you this season. It's still okay to wear last season's look of almost transparent black leggings. I never tire of having to look at every crevice of fat girls' arses in clinical detail. Fashion no-nos, sportswear, all types of sportswear are out this season, even if you're wearing it to do the sport. When I play five-a-side, I wear a smoking jacket and cravat, and it doesn't hinder my admittedly limited movement. The big sportswear no-no is for grown men in football shirts. Football shirts with players' names on the back. Do you know how ridiculous you look? Do you think you're Steven Gerrard? Are you fantasising about being Wayne Rooney? Are football players your heroes? Like they're the heroes of 10-year-old boys? Why don't you complete your look with a Batman mask or a Harry Potter cloak? You complete and utter dicks. That's my fashion tips this month. Just trying to make people's lives better.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, great
stuff. Yeah. Clearly got a real passion for that, Peter.
Yep.
I mean, I agree with the football shirts.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, some men in Liverpool take one set, but they wear their whole fucking kit.
Full kit.
There's
a site called Full Kit Wankers.
Yes, there is.
Really?
I've seen it.
Cocks. And scarves as well. You touched on scarves. Yeah. The thing that gets me is, you know, freezing cold, a man will just wear a scarf and he'll wear a t-shirt, won't even have a coat on. Specifically, he's just got a very hot neck.
Yeah.
You know, thin silk scarf.
Yeah, a very low-cut V-neck. Well, of course you're going to be cold.
Exactly, but all he's taking care of is his neck area.
Might have a sore throat.
Might need to protect his from satchel chaff on the upper shoulder.
Yeah, very possibly man bag scrape.
Anyway, talking of camp weird men, let's check up on Brian Shule on his UK sex tour, see how he's getting on. Over to you, Brian.
In 1907, Gustav Klimt produced his masterpiece, The Kiss. The painting depicts a couple locked in an embrace and is about the fulfillment of sex between a man and a woman. When this isn't possible, Henry the Hoover a watermelon, or a jar full of liver provide adequate replacements.
That was truly sickening. Speaking of which, it's a new feature, Rush Hour Crush.
Love is all around, or is it lust? Here's this month's Rush Hour Crush. To the girl who I secretly follow home from Hunts Cross Station every night, I have now taken over 400 photos of you. Fancy a coffee? Guy in large coat masturbating.
To the redhead girl with a blue duffel coat and large rose bushes in the back garden, I would love to tie you up at knife point. Peeping Tom.
To the girl in the blue Ford Focus who crashed into the lamppost on the high street, I was the one watching you dying whilst touching myself. If your family don't mind, I'd like to see you again. Neil. I think I probably should have proofread that before I read it out.
That feature, I don't know if that worked or not. Our listenership or readership seems to be different than that of Metro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that could go either way.
Lightening the mood is Britain's favourite Scouse poet, Roy Hughes, with his new work, Formby Beach.
Formby Beach.
Ooh.
I was down at Formby Beach, walking near the sea of Formby Beach. Swash, backwash, swash. Swash, backwash, swash of the sea. At Formby Beach.
Haunting stuff there from Roy.
Incredible. It just doesn't operate like a conventional poet. The wordplay and stuff, it just conjures up scenes that the average person can't.
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I've been to Formby Beach, and that whole, you know, it just captures the essence of the beach and what it's like to be there. It's really powerful.
Yeah, I've never been to Formby Beach, but I will pay a visit on the back of that.
I suggest you do.
It's time to plunder the Talking Spite inbox.
Here we go.
The deep trolley that always is.
Oh, yeah. Have we got time to go
wading through?
Oh, we'll just pick the best ones.
Wading through them, yeah. Go on.
We got an email from a Mr. A. Carew in Sydney. This is my fault, this one. He pointed out that a few episodes ago, I was advocating the practice of vaginal sex and that it has recently been discovered that this can actually cause pregnancy.
What?
I was a bit sceptical about that as well, but I've looked into it and he is actually correct, so I apologise for that. Please revert back to having sex in the conventional manner.
And in no circumstances are we, we're not suitable or liable for any pregnancies that have occurred on account of your tips previously. Can you just put that in now?
Well, to be fair, they're Pete's tips, so.
Yeah, so me and Graham aren't included.
Well, I don't know.
Collectively.
No, I don't think so.
Not guilt by association here, Sunshine.
Anything else in there?
We've had a one from a Mr. Simon Curry in Halewood, Liverpool. We get an email a month. It's the first time we got round to him, but basically he loves the show. We can't get enough of it. It's his reason for living. Loves it.
Brilliant.
Well, specifically, like, it's mine and Graham's bits. Peter, he thinks, you know, not so keen, but he really likes the way me and Graham work.
I can live with that, because at least he's praising two-thirds of the show. If he's loving your work and your work, yeah. I can live with that. Yeah. I'll just try and win him over.
Well, you need to try harder, okay. I think, yeah. He hasn't left any constructive criticism for how he can do that, but, you know, he writes every week, so I'm sure if he's reading this and listening to this, he'll comment and he'll send you something.
It's nice to be appreciated.
Yeah.
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 And finally, the big news in the inbox, there is the Nigerian lottery, which I mentioned the other month.
Ooh. Yeah.
Mr. Shadrach Mugabe of the, I assume, Nigerian Camelot came and now we have the money. 1 million Nigerian Naira has arrived.
Came through to the account.
In the account. Oh, fantastic. Great.
Super stuff.
Oh, God, what a relief to finally have nailed that one. Well, I think it just goes to show, doesn't it? You know, if you can't let emails just fester away in your spam folder. You've got to act on them.
Yeah, you can't.
Reply. You never know.
Yeah.
There's winners and losers in this life. There's people who just sit around in the bedroom doing nothing. There's people like us who are happy to share our bank account details with people. And
yeah.
But you put in the effort, the rewards are obvious. That's a million of whatever it is the currency is.
We've had loads of these emails and we have not always been lucky, but
no.
Now we have.
We've been deleting them with email.
The actual email
itself has been automatically moving it to spam. Gold like this. Yeah. Act on them, people. Act on your spam.
Check your spam filter.
And now we're 4,000 UK pounds better off.
Fan?
Well, it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not to be sniffed at. Right. Shall we move on? Here's some celebrity shit with Herbert Sherbert.
How do? I'm Herbert Sherbert and here's your celebrity news this week.
Ex-Wet drummer Tommy Cunningham says the group disbanded in 99 because Marty Pello was suffering from a gender identity disorder. He was convinced he was a geisha girl he would daub himself in emulsion and speak in an eerie childlike voice, explained Tommy. He wrote Sweet Little Mystery and Temptation about his alter ego, and one track called The Way Daddy Touched Me, which we didn't release for obvious reasons. Pello committed suicide in 2004. His naked body were found in Esther Ranson's kitchen, covered in mustard. Hollywood hothead Russell Crowe failed to see the funny side this week when he were ironically diagnosed with a severe allergic reaction to crows. It's also been revealed that Crowe weren't the first choice for the lead role in the film Gladiator. The role were originally offered to Ali Campbell of UB40, who turned it down due to touring commitments with the band and with Pat O'Banton. US metal king Slipknot have paid tribute to former Blue Peter presenter Simon Groom, revealing that he co-wrote all of their hit singles. Paula Abdul now has the world's biggest collection of Geiger counters. At last count, the pint-sized pop princess owned over 57 of them. And at the time of his death, the walrus of love Barry White was the proud owner of 3 hairless buttocks. Right, that's your celebrity news. I've got 3 tongues of pig shit to shift.
I'm sorry, but he's so okay. So camp.
More mince than a butcher's counter.
Okay, it's time to go over to Nicky Interesting for the big shout.
As chaos engulfs the BBC over the Jimmy Savile sexual abuse allegations, and Obama and Romney make their final push for the US presidential election, today, The Big Shout asks, should goths be allowed in bakeries?
The Big Shout!
The Big Shout.
We've all been there, queuing up in Greg's for a couple of pasties, a six-pack of ring donuts, or one of those buy two, get one free deals they often do on large sausage rolls. When a goth's walked in, is this acceptable? Should goths be allowed in bakeries? Or should your pastry purchasing transaction be a goth-free experience, like the enjoyment of sport, sunshine, or the music of Mika? That's today's question on The Big Shout. I'm Nicky Interesting, and joining me today, renowned academic Professor Jean-Jacques Jejoui of football, and Monty McFlurry of the organisation Supporting Losers and Goths. Professor Football.
Hello.
You're just a gothist. You hate goths.
As we do not hate the goths, but they should not be in bakeries. It is not natural for a goth to be in the bakery.
Goths are generally depressed teenagers. Surely they, more than anyone, have the right to shorten their life expectancy by consuming highly calorific food.
No. I do not accept that they should be allowed in bakeries. For me, the bakery is it's a morning place. You get fresh bread, donuts. Goths are creatures of the night. They should be in graveyards or hanging around statues, not in a bakery.
Mr. McFlurry, they shouldn't be in bakeries.
No, I'm not having that. The work we do is slags, right? We go and we do a lot of work with goths in the community. And I can honestly say, bakeries, we did some research, are the second most popular hangout for the goths. So, after public steps, as you rightly point out, steps and statues, they love those places. But the bakery is the second most popular hangout for the goths. So, you're just driving the problem elsewhere, is what I'm trying to say. You're driving into bookies, into garage forecourts. It's fucking madness to drive them out of bakeries. You can't do it.
So, Professor Football, you're happy for them to be in forecourts and stuff. Is it just bakeries you have the issue with?
Yeah, mainly the bakery. Because if I'm an old woman, imagine me as an old woman, I do not want to walk in to buy a loaf or a bloomer or a French stick and see these goths with their black nail varnish. It's very scary to an old woman. But I'm fine with them being in garage forecourts or even maybe a butchery, because they are surrounded by dead animals, and I'm sure most goths would enjoy that.
Mr. McFlurry, so you're happy to buy a pasty while stood next to a goth then, with a deathly pallid and ratted black hair, in a ruffled Regency shirt and a stovepipe hat? That's okay, is it?
Absolutely. I've got no problem with it whatsoever. All that grease and pastry maintains the unnatural, unhealthy pallor of the goth. Without it, they die. It's the staple diet. It's like saying to pandas, you can't eat bamboo anymore. It's fucking madness.
It's their natural habitat.
No. The natural habitat of the goth is, as I said before, statues, graveyards, someone's spare bedroom, painted black. They should not be in light, airy bakeries with the smell of fresh bread.
I'm gonna bring in Mr. Ray Cock now. Ray! Ray!
Hello?
Ray, what's your take on this?
What's the subject?
Goths, Ray. Should they be allowed in bakeries?
I didn't even know what a goth is. What is a goth? I thought it was like an old tribe or something. I don't even know why I'm here.
Thanks, Ray. Mr. McFlurry, can't they just hang around statues in these other places instead? Why do they have to be allowed in bakeries?
Well, so let us see. In our research, the second most popular hangout, it's like banning birds from fucking trees. It's fucking mental. You can't do it. I'm telling you, you can't do it. It's like, what? They make become endangered species, the Goth. And generally, in society, what the Goth does is he makes normal folk like you, and not like Professor Jacques Choufootball, whatever his fucking name is, but they make the most of us feel better about ourselves. And if you take away their natural habitat, they're going to disappear, and we'll have nobody to point the finger and laugh at. I think that's primarily my point.
Professor Football, Goths are going to be eradicated if we take away the bakeries. This is what you're saying. I'll give you a final chance to reply to this.
Nonsense. They are not going to be eradicated. As I've said several times, they can hang around these statues or graveyards, etc. If members of the public are listening to this, I would actively encourage them to ask Goths to leave the bakeries. And if any Goths are listening to this, I do not have a problem with you per se, but you should perhaps go to the butchery. Hang around some dead animals. I think you'll find them more enjoyable.
And Ray Cork, your final summation?
Well, so I didn't know what a Goth is, but everything I've heard about them, I didn't like them, so I didn't want them anywhere. Bakeries, statues, graveyards, wherever, I didn't like them.
Thanks, Ray. Join us next month for the Big Shout.
The Big Shout!
The Big Shout.
And here's Ian with your traffic and travel news.
Traffic and travel news now, and the term travel originates from the old French word travail. It is the movement of people or objects between relatively distant geographical locations. A dual carriageway is a road which has a central reservation to separate the carriageways. You must have a valid driving license for the category of motor vehicle you are driving, and you must inform the DVLA or Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency if you change your name and or address. And finally tonight, a red triangle containing a picture of two people with severely deformed backs means frail, blind or disabled pedestrians likely to cross the road ahead. That's your traffic and travel.
And Graham with the weather.
Right, yeah, snow and ice still moving in from the east. Got delayed last month. It got stuck in Eastern Europe, but it's on its way. And perhaps Briar Broly as well, in case it rains.
Maybe wear a silk scarf over a t-shirt.
That'll do it. Okay, it's time for the monthly horoscope again. This month, deck chair.
An interesting month for those born under the sign of deck chair. The B-52s attempt to turn your humble abode into a love shack. Under no circumstances let this happen, as the annoying voice group will probably eat you out of house and home, use all of your bubble bath, and invite ne'er-do-wells around while you're trying to watch University Challenge. If you ask Biffy Clyro nicely, they will help you evict them. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. But this month, you'll have to make do with half a pork pie, discarded in the bus shelter by the Mecca Bingo, as no one else can be bothered with you. Swimming in gravy is not advised either, as people will get the wrong idea about you when you are covered in tasty, yet wrong-looking brown filth. Your lucky one-hit wonder, Call Me by Spagna.
And to counterbalance that nonsense, here's Professor Brian Dix.
Fire is the rapid oxidation of a material in the chemical process of combustion, releasing heat, light, and various reaction products. Fire starts when a flammable and/or combustible material, in combination with an oxidizer, such as oxygen gas, is exposed to a source of heat. Today, I've used a photograph of Vernon Kay and a match. The flame is the visible portion of the fire and consists of glowing hot gases. See how the people who I have locked in this building marvel at the amazing colours in the flame's infrared and ultraviolet light. The fire gives off incredible heat, but it's the inhalation of the smoke, poisoning and pulmonary irritation caused by carbon monoxide, hydrogen cyanide and other combustion products that will kill them. Of course, fire can be extinguished by removing any of the elements of the fire tetrahedron, the oxygen, heat or fuel. So that is why I took the precaution of disabling all water supply resources and fire hydrants prior to ignition. Wow, it really is beautiful. Breathtaking. Literally. Fire.
And that's the end of the show. We'd like to thank Kevin MacLeod for the music and Petra Collins and Lisa Johnson for the brave attempts at acting. So then, what are we doing now?
This is awkward. This is awkward, yeah. We're going to go to the pub and spend our Nigerian lira. That's what we thought we'd do.
That sounds a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Well, slight problem.
Telling me.
We're actually meeting Mr. Simon Curry as well from Hale Wood, who is specifically expressed his view that you don't come.
Oh, the guy who wrote the email.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. You know how he feels about you.
I'd be quite happy for you to go, but
it's not for us to say, Graham. Simon has made his position quite clear about who he thinks the funny guys are. Sorry about that, mate.
Anyway,
should we go?
Yeah.
All right, we're meeting you down there in 20.
Okay, so. Cheers, Pete. I'll see you next month, mate.
See you later.
Okay, yeah.
Cheers.
That's fine. Wow. Really, I've just gone? Suppose I better tidy all this up. Has this thing got internet? Oh, yeah. Marty, hello, geisha girl. Result.